Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." These are your words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If you asked a student of American history who said these words, most would answer Abraham Lincoln. Yet Lincoln taught himself to read by using the Bible and was actually quoting the words of Jesus in our lesson by saying, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Lincoln meant that the nation could not continue half slave and half free. If such a division continued, the government would collapse. Lincoln said in 1858, "I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other." His words rang true in the years to follow. A civil war was waged to preserve the Union. A house divided. During the course of the Civil War, Lincoln emancipated those held in slavery. One of the outcomes of the war was a nation no longer divided along the lines of slave and free states, but one in which slavery was abolished. Jesus' words, "A house divided against itself will fall," speak of a war in which all people, including you and I, are involved. The chief combatants are Jesus and the devil. In this war, Jesus' objectives are clear: to liberate our souls from Satan's captivity and the slavery of sin, and to bring about unity between us and God. In our lesson today, after Jesus cast out a demon from a man, his enemies accused him of forming an alliance with the devil. In answer to his accusers, Jesus tells us that in the war to liberate our souls, there can be no alliance between him and the devil. There can be no neutrality, and there can only be one victor. There can be no alliance. In one particular battle in the war to liberate our souls, Jesus cast out a demon from a man that had left him mute. Now the man was able to speak. A group of Pharisees, often criticized by Jesus for their legalism and hypocrisy, accused Jesus of having formed an alliance with demons. "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." The word Beelzebub is a play on the word Beelzebul, which means Baal is prince. Israelites would express their disdain for the false idol Baal by calling him instead Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. Here it is another word for Satan. How did Jesus answer this accusation of forming an alliance with the ruler of demons? But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.'" Why would Satan have his demons possess people and then destroy his own works by letting Jesus use demonic power to drive out demons? Jesus answers that Satan could not be allied with him without being divided against himself. There can be no alliance. Neither can the church ally itself with anything that is evil without being separated from Christ, our head. We are tempted to form an alliance with evil when we think the ends justify the means, that sinful acts such as lying or stealing or other dishonest means can be used to bring about some good result, such as protecting others or feeding someone. But we may not fight fire with fire, using Satan's weapons in the cause of God. Jesus emphasizes this point when he asked the question, "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges." By pointing their fingers at Jesus, accusing him of using demonic powers to drive out demons, they wind up accusing themselves. Since there can be no alliance between Jesus and the devil, by what power does Jesus cast out demons? "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." The finger of God is the Holy Spirit working through God's word to establish God's kingdom among us. How does God's kingdom come? The kingdom of God comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live godly lives here in time and hereafter in eternity. Secondly, in the war to liberate our souls, there can be no neutrality. In all earthly wars and quarrels, there are many who take no part at all, but only just look on and remain neutral. But in the war between Christ and the devil, we must all take part, whether we want to or not. As Luther once said, "Every human being lives either for Christ against the devil, or for the devil against Christ. There is no neutral course." There can be no neutrality. Either you believe or don't believe. Either you belong to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." To gather is to belong to the flock of Jesus, who gathers the lost. To scatter is to be ripped from the flock and torn away by the wolf Satan, who seeks to destroy the sheep. There is a strong warning here against lukewarm indifference that does not call evil evil or good good. Fence riding becomes Satan's best friend and Christ's worst enemy. As Jesus warns in Revelation chapter 3, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." It is in this context of calling lukewarm Christians to repentance that Jesus invites us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus calls us to repent of indifference, to come and dine with him on the bread of life, the gospel in word and sacrament. Thirdly, in the war to liberate our souls, there can only be one victor. Jesus describes the tyrannical rule of Satan in this way. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Satan's rule seems undisturbed in the world, and indeed he seems to reign supreme. Sin and wickedness, superstition and idolatry, misery and hopelessness, and death are everywhere. On our own, we are not able to withstand or contend against the tyrant Satan. Our own free will is not able to oppose Satan and sin, but is subject to them. Yet Jesus continues, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Jesus, the stronger man, overcomes. He disarms Satan. He overpowers him and takes away his whole armor. Christ overthrew Satan in the temptation in the wilderness, the prelude to the final victory of the cross and empty tomb, when all sin was atoned for and death itself shattered. Mankind was ransomed by Christ and torn from the clutches of Satan. Don't let appearances fool you. Although the world still lies in wickedness, Satan and his kingdom are conquered and doomed. There has been a regime change. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Jesus, who has won the war to liberate our souls, divides the spoils. Through faith, Christ's victory over Satan is ours. As John wrote, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. By faith, forgiveness and peace of conscience, new life, and the glorious and certain hope of eternal life in heaven are ours. As souls liberated by Jesus' victory over the devil, we sing, thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death hast won. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us through death's portals to thy home above. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Almighty God, your Son Jesus triumphed over Satan and freed us from our bondage to sin. Rule our lives, enable us to do your will, and help others to see that we belong to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.